I'm excited about Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the Lord gave us another week on the little planet Earth, didn't he? We're here again. Praise the Lord. But one of these days, it isn't going to be that way, is it? We're going to be standing before him. Thank you, brother. I hope this isn't a watered-down service here. That's good. Praise the Lord here, man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about when we pray, when we come before the Lord in prayer, we should always thank the Lord before we pray, because he's faithful. Amen? We should, before you start coming with your request and coming before the Lord, we should come before him and say, Lord, I thank you in advance for what I'm going to be asking you this day, this evening, or whenever you pray. Because that's showing the Lord that you're coming to him with faith and thankfulness in your heart too. And you already expect in your spirit that God is going to answer your prayer. And by giving him that thankfulness in the beginning sets that tone. You remember when Jesus looked up and he thanked the Lord prior to asking? And if Jesus did it, maybe that's what we should be doing too. Because many times we come before the Lord and we're praying and asking for a lot of different things, but we never say thank you. Or we may say thank you at the end, if you answer, Lord, right? But we should say, Lord, I come to you right now and I thank you for the request and for the answer, what I'm going to bring before your throne right now. I thank you in advance because I know you're hearing me. And you know, we forget that God hears us. We can't see him and we can't touch him, but he's there. But when we say, Lord, I thank you for hearing my prayer, he's like this. Let's hear it. And he takes interest. It's not like when we come to each other's once in a while, when we may be asking somebody to pray for us. Okay, we walk away, we never pray, right? Most time we don't. And that's why a lot of times if somebody says to me, hey, Lynn, will you pray for me today when you think about it? I said, sure. Come here, let's pray right now. Boom. I've done that at work too. I've had people do that. They get a little schemish when you do that. But if you don't do it, you won't do it most of the time. And you thank the Lord in advance. But I was thinking how awesome God is and why we should come to him with thankfulness, the scriptures teach us. And let's practice doing that when we pray. And I want everybody to come before the Lord and to thank him for Crossfire Assembly. I want you to say thank you for this church, because God's going to guide us in areas, should Jesus tarry, that will be exciting. And I want you to be in prayer for as we go forward in different things. Can't share yet, but as we go forward, I want you to be in prayer and see how the Lord moves us forward. And do it with thankfulness, because we don't want to be a little click church. I've said that before. I don't want to just stay a little group of people and, oh boy, we're all having a good time. Now, that's okay if we're solid in the Lord and that's the way the world's going, but I tell you what, we want to win the lost. We want other people that are hurting and crying and dying in their life and know that when we come there, this is going to be a church as we move forward. I'm thanking the Lord and believing for the supernatural. Not that I need to have the supernatural, but I want to see the supernatural power of God. I believe the enemy is against this church 100%. I believe that with my whole heart. Since we've started this church, many of you in this congregation, including my wife and ourselves and Amy and Brown, we've had attacks against our life, big time. Big time. Satan doesn't attack smooth, running, easy, living, sweet, cotton, puffy, little sweet churches. He's already got them in his pockets. But I tell you what, you get the fire of God in your spirit, and you preach the Word of God, live the Word of God, Satan is going to try to bring you down. And we need to remember that as the body. When I pray for you guys during the week, I pray that God, the precious blood of Jesus, he will put over each and every life. Because there's an enemy, and he's a deceiver, and he's trying to take us out and discourage us. But don't let it happen. Because we, should Jesus tarry, we're going to be on fire for the Lord. Amen? Isn't that exciting? See, I'm not discouraged of the fact Satan can take us down, because he can't. Because Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon. And when Jesus is for us, who can be against us? Amen? That's why if you are walking through this time of life and there's a warfare, remember there's Jesus walking with you, in you, and around you, and he'll see you through. Praise the Lord. That was not my sermon today. Walking through the valley. No one enjoys physical suffering, do we? Emotional suffering. We don't enjoy any of that kind of stuff, do we? Don't want it either. But as children of the King, afflictions, chastisement, and pain happen emotionally, physically, all different ways to our life. We don't want it, but it's there. And the scripture teaches that many are the trials and the tribulations of the righteous. Many. As the sparks fly up, it says in the book of Job, the tribulation, we're going to have these kinds of issues because we have an enemy against us. We live in an imperfect world. And these things are going to come more so upon the children of God than the children of the world. Many, many times God is working in our lives through these tribulations. But I always like that, but my God shall deliver me from all. All of them. He'll deliver us from all of them. We need to stand faithful when these things come against us. Amen? Of Jesus himself, it is written in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. It doesn't mean Jesus sinned and he was trying to be obedient. That isn't what it's saying. Jesus sought obedience every day of his life to live for the Father, to live holy. He sought it. He wasn't fighting living in sin off to be disobedient. He was looking for obedience, ways to obey. And that's what we need to do too, to do what Jesus did and ask his help. Because I tell you what, I'm a sinner saved by grace standing up here. I'm a sinner. I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. And I'm not faithful all the time like Jesus. But I need a father where I can cry out and say, Father, forgive me. I blew it. I sinned against you again or somebody else. So we need that type of thing. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation. Right? We suffer the offenses of the cross, but we're also going to receive the comfort of the cross too. For all eternity, when we're steadfast in our faith and we're walking with Jesus. Psalms 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It would be nice to live in a world where there were no hard times or difficulties. That would be wonderful. That is going to happen someday. We'd all like to stay on the mountaintops and not visit the valleys. What happens when you're way up on the mountain? When we go into Montana many times, we're up on top of the Beartooth Mountains up there, and you can see Billings, Montana, 50-some miles away. You can see a lot when you're on top of mountains, can't you? It makes everything more clear. Well, I tell you, I was thinking about that, and I think, you know, when I, puny little me, I look like a little microscopic piece of dust on top of that mountain, but, you know, our big God who created that big mountain is even way above those mountains, and he can see everything yet. That's right. We don't have to be afraid to put our trust in him, do we? He's a mighty big God. We'd all like to stay on the mountaintops and not visit the valleys, but we have to visit those valleys. They're going to come. We almost know that this is not the case. Most of the time, the only way to the mountaintop is to go through the valley. That's the only way to get to that mountaintop, is in that valley. Note that I didn't say to stay in the valley, but to go through the valley. We go through the valley. Praise the Lord. Circumstances might lead us into the valley, but it's our choice as to whether or not we stay in the valley. I know some people who want to stay in their valley for whatever reasons. They want to stay in that valley. There is this one woman went through a valley at work, and God worked dramatically in her life. While at work, a woman received a call from her sitter who told her that her child had a fever and she needed to come home. The mother left work and stopped at the pharmacy to get the medication for her child. She almost had an accident as she was going into the pharmacy, as she was almost run over by a 3,000-pound duck running out with some grapes. She She got the medicine and went back to her car, only to find that in her haste, she had locked the keys in the car. She called home and told the sitter what had happened, and the sitter suggested using a coat hanger to open the door. How many have done that? I have. The mother found the hanger, but then realized she didn't know how to use it. She was still in her valley. About 5 minutes later, a dirty, greasy, bearded man with an old biker skull rag on his head drove up on his beat-up old motorcycle and asked if he could help her. The mother replied, "My daughter's very sick. I stopped to get medication and locked the keys in my car. Can you use this hanger to open the car door for me?" He said, "Sure." He walked to the car. Within a minute, had the door open. She hugged him. She said to the man, "Thank you so much. You're a very nice man." The man replied, "Lady, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison today. I was in prison for car theft, and I have only been out for an hour." This is the best part of the story, the closing part. The woman hugged him again, and with tear-filled eyes, looked to heaven and cried out, "Lord, oh, thank you, God, you even sent me a professional." So sometimes our valleys are not too deep. Other times it feels like we'll never see the light again. Amen? We've had them like that. See, this passage in Psalms tells us a lot about valleys. Let's look at some of the words in it that we want to touch on. Valleys are dreadful. They're dreadful. We never think of the valley as being a good place. Good can come from it, but it doesn't seem so at the time. In fact, it may be quite a while before we see the good from it, if at all. David did not want to go into the valley, and neither do we. We know this because of the way David starts this verse. He says, "Yea, though." Now, that "yea, though" is not a positive statement there. Not a statement of excitement associated with a positive experience. Valleys are deep. David then says that "I walk." He what? He walks. Here it is, not a leisure walk, but a walk that will take some time. Sometimes valleys seem endless, don't they? The distance through the valley is always longer than we like. It may be a treacherous walk as well. And, you know, when I think about that too, many times when we're going through a valley and we get our eyes off of the one, Jesus, that valley gets a lot longer and a lot deeper and a lot darker. Amen? We need to take our time if we want to successfully navigate through the valley. And then valleys are departing. David is careful to use the word "through" in reference to the valley. He's not going to stay in the valley. He will get through it with God's help. That's encouraging, isn't it? Even though you're in the valley, David knew he was going to get through it. He didn't know how, he didn't know when, he didn't know where, but he knew that God was going to get him through that valley. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 and 18 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory." I like what he says, "which is but for a moment," when it seems like a lifetime when you're in it, doesn't it? It seems like it's never going to end, but it's a light affliction in comparison to all eternity. It's just that's how fast it's gone. Verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It's so easy that when we're walking in that valley that we get our eyes fixed on those temporal things. And they can become so discouraging and think there's no hope, there's nothing I can do. We have to look away from those things, as the scripture teaches us, to look toward eternal things. Because, see, our hope is not in this world, is it? Especially the way we see it going, even though there's those that are preaching today that if we can make the world a better place, bring God's kingdom here and get it ready, then Jesus can return. I'm hearing that a lot. And we can't do that. You can do all the good things in the world, and this world is going to wax worse and worse because Jesus said it would. Yes. This old world is a valley that we're walking through also every day of our life right now, and it's going to get worse and worse. And guess what, brothers and sisters? You and I are the salt and light of this world right now. We are. Without us in this world right now, think how dark this world would be if God's people were not walking around right now and living the life and making choices not to do the things that the world are doing, because God saved us, He changed us, and we're brand new creatures in Christ. And that's what makes us different than the world out there. Wow. And then valleys are decaying. Valleys are formed by erosion. You know, how many have ever watched the Flintstones? You know who they are? That's one of my favorite cartoons, is the Flintstones, by the way. I actually draw Flintstone, Flintstone characters. I like them. I've drawn them this tall from a little cartoon character like that. And I won a little thing on it with the State Fair in South Dakota when I was there. It was, you know, turned out really good. I've won several of those over there doing cartoons because I love cartoons. But Fred Flintstone is the most awesome character to draw. He's really a great guy. Fred and Barney. I know. See, I'm just sharing you. I'm not perfect now here. Fred and Barney were taking their families on vacation, and they stopped at the Grand Canyon. Except it was only a trickle at that time. Barney turned to Fred and said, "They say it's going to be a big thing someday." I thought it was good, but. See, valleys are formed by erosion or breaking down. God brings believers into the valley to break us of our bad habits and other things so that we can become more like Him. Many times He leads us into those valleys to become more like Him. See, He sees the things that we don't see in ourselves many times, and we don't understand, but He does. And He will allow us to walk through valleys. And while we're in those valleys, even though we may not feel or sense Him, our Lord is at work in our life. He's at work hammering out the things that we need to get rid of, the bad things in our life that we don't want to take to heaven for all eternity. And that's why with His help, when we're in the valleys, we don't want to scream and complain and gripe and doubt Him, but to say, "God, I don't understand it. I don't see what's wrong and what I've done in my life or anything, but I'm going to put my trust in You. I'm going to thank You that You are working something out in me that evidently is not to be there for all eternity, because You're so perfect and You're so wonderful, and You don't want me to be anything like this world when I get there." That's the Father. That's the Father. Valleys are deceiving. Now, this fact escapes many. The valley is reality and death is reality. But in this valley is the shadow of the valley of death. Shadows have form but no substance. Do not think that Satan won't be in the valley, because he will be. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? Guess who was there after His baptism? Guess who was in the wilderness with Him? Satan. He was there with him. When Job went through his valley, Satan was there. But we must remember that the shadow cannot hurt you, only scare you. That's what it can do. And it'll be in that valley, believe me. And he will try to scare you. See, Satan does that through manipulations and things. He can only deceive us through many times fear. That's the only way he can harm us. He can't physically come down and destroy us in any way. We're protected from that old boy. But I tell you what, he's very, very good at deceiving us. How many, when you were younger, remember that you're scared of shadows? Amen? I can remember that. My dad always thought it was funny. My twin brother and I, when we come from a long trip late at night, we lived on a farm in South Dakota, and at night we'd jump out of the car. My brother and I, we'd take off running, walking in our sleep, and walk into this dark old barn. And my dad would stand there and laugh, because he'd say, if they only knew, they'd never go near that barn at night, knowing how scared they are. But he said, I'd follow them in there, and then he'd just stand in the barn. We'd stand in there. And he'd wake us up and tell us to get to the house. But believe me, I wouldn't have done. I didn't even walk outside at night by myself hardly when I was a kid. What we're going to do this morning is look at some ways to gain a victory over the valleys we face in our lives. There are five things I want to share with you this morning that will help us through those valleys. Five things. So I gave it away. I got 5 points. So you got to be patient for 5 points. Amen? Amen? I try not to tell you how many. Because then you'll be saying, okay, one, two. Point one, accept the reality of the valley. Accept it. Shepherds at least once a year will take their flock on a longer journey to the mountains. During the spring, they will graze on the fields near home while the mountaintops are still covered with snow. In the summer, it is time to seek newer fields in the hills. The route they take is through the valleys. It's cooler in the summer heat, and it is a well-watered route. The sheep need to go in on this journey, for the cooler temperature will help them to survive. As sheep, we need to accept the reality of going through valleys as the shepherd leads us to the mountaintops. We need to come to that point, accept the fact that we are in a valley. But we also have to remember that Jesus is with us. Because he said he would never leave us, nor would he ever forsake us. So we know in the middle of the depth of that valley, even if you don't feel him, you don't hear him, you don't sense him, and you feel like you're the only one in this old valley that's ever been there, Jesus is there. Isn't that exciting? Because he doesn't lie. He said, I'll never leave you forsake. I will be with you in that valley. And if you're walking in a valley right now, Jesus is there leading you in that valley because he knows the pitfalls. And he's going to be with you. There is another reality, I think, that has to be embraced, and that is the reality that both believers and non-believers are led into the valley. Obviously, in different reasons. Matthew 5:45 says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. We don't need to sit and say, well, how come the unsaved people seem like they never have any problems and it seems like they're always blessed? God says it right here. That's his mercy and that's his grace. And it's a different purpose. But, you know, I said this one time when I first was a brand new Christian to my boss when I was in Sioux Falls. He was a Sunday school teacher in the Lutheran church. And we were talking one day, I was witnessing to him, and I was raised in the Lutheran church too. And so he started bringing in his self-righteousness, why he was a Sunday school teacher and all this. And for whatever reason, being a brand new Christian, I came across this scripture, and I remembered it. So I quoted it to him. And he got madder than a hornet at me. Because he thought he was so wonderful because he taught Sunday school in a Lutheran church. But I told him, I said, hey, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But I didn't say he was unjust. That was his own thinking. I wasn't smart enough to say, would you like to know why? I didn't learn that yet. We are led into the valleys to know the reality of the shepherd. Did you hear that? We're led into the valleys to know the reality of the shepherd. For the Christian, it is to be broken and to know God's protection and provision. That's where we have to, when we're in the valley, we have to realize that I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, and how you're going to preserve this, whatever situation, if it's health, if it's finances, if it's job, if it's family, or whatever it is, some way our Jesus is going to be the provider and is the provider. And he's going to bring you out of it, and he is going to be the one that will be glorified when you come out of that valley. Yes. He will be. And I can stand here, and I know many of you can too, from experience as I've walked through different valleys of my life. That's the reason I'm standing here. Because the provider was with me, and he took me through this valley. And there's many valleys that we have to go through in life. Different experiences, and that God is working. And sometimes you don't even know what he's worked out in your life, but he's done something in you to make you more like him. One thing I've learned through doing valleys too, I never make fun of anybody. I never do. Used to. I was bad at that, especially before I was a Christian. But I don't do that anymore. I'm seeing from God's perspective how important his creation is to him and how fragile life is to you and I, and how that if I'm making fun of that person, I may go through it someday myself. And I've done that, and I have. And I realize that that's not a good thing to do. The best thing I can do, especially after becoming a Christian, is pray for my brothers and sisters as they're going through different hardships of life. And listen to this, brothers and sisters. There are times that the glory of God can only be seen in the dark times. Did you know that? Only in the dark times can you see the glory of God. in the blackness of the night, in the depths of your valley, is the only time you're going to be able to see God's glory. I've heard people through my Christian life, testimonials and books and different things that said that when they felt and seen and sensed God's presence in their life the most is when they were going through the hard times of life. Not the good times. It's when they were in the valleys of their life is when they felt the closest to their Creator. And some of them even made a comment that's in their life that sometimes they'd rather be in that valley sensing God than where they're at today. And so there's a lot of truth in that many times too. And that is growing your faith in the Lord and knowing that He's there. For the non-Christian, the valley is there to realize that there's only one shepherd. They go in there. See, that's God's way of focusing us, isn't it, sometimes? He's after us. These are people who, and then these are people who refuse to follow the shepherd. These are people who can't get out of the valley they're in. They do the same thing over and over and over, and they live the same way their life is, destroying it, abusing it, and never getting out of the valley when God is trying to show them that I am the way, I am the shepherd. And we have rebellious Christians in the church today that are the same way, that they will not look at the shepherd and say, Jesus said, I am the way, but they'll keep looking from side to side, looking for other avenues, rather than looking to the shepherd to get them out of the valley. Right. He's the only way. He's the source. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only source that is going to get you and I out of a valley permanently. And if we think, well, I'll get out of this valley. I know how to do it. I got friends that got money. They'll get me money and I'll get out of this valley. But I tell you what, God's got a bigger valley, a darker valley, and a deeper valley that He'll put you in until you learn.
That's right.
And that God isn't a mean God. You know, when you think about it, that's His love and His mercy and His grace and His kindness working in our life in order to make us more like Him instead of spoiled brats. Amen? Yeah. And how many know that spoiled brats aren't fun? For the Christian with their eyes on God, the walk through the valley will be temporal. But there's going to be valleys. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. What an awesome word. As you carefully read this verse, you will note that it says when, right? When you go through the rivers, when you go through the waters, when you walk through the fire. Not if. See, there are definite valleys. We will have valleys to deal with in life. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So no matter what is happening in our life in this old world, we can be cheerful, believe it or not. Jesus said that. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome it. And that's why we can always be cheerful, because no matter what exists in our life, we always know that Jesus is in control. Because He's overcome it. He's already taken care of it. And He says, if you keep your eyes fixed on me and look toward me, don't look at brother or sister so-and-so. Don't look at your bank account. Don't look at the government. Don't look at other Christians. Don't look here. Don't look there. Don't look at the medical institutions. Look to Jesus. That's what He said. Be of good cheer. As I, He says, have overcome the world. These other things haven't overcome the world. Because everything I listed off to you just now, they'll fail you. Every one of them. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. That's why you can always cry out, Jesus. How many know that I'm a Jesus person? Did you get a hint? I'm a Jesus person. I'm not ashamed of His name, and I like saying as much as I can, because the devil hates it and he's fearful of it. And I know how to make his knees weak. When he tries to make my knees weak, is all I got to say is Jesus, and his knees get weak. The demons get weak. The Bible says demons tremble at the name of Jesus. We don't use His name enough. We're ashamed of it sometimes in public. Not me. I hate testimonials on TV where people give testimonies how God has changed their life. I don't know what God that means. Today you don't. At one time I did, but today I don't. I don't know if it's, you know, whomever. But you know something? I don't know if I would or not, but I'd love to get on one of these national television programs and somebody ask me a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? That would be so much fun. It would be a riot. Wow. Praise the Lord. Did you know there is a shadow of death in Israel? How many knew that? I didn't know that. I learned it myself. But it is. I went on the internet and actually found it. There is an actual valley of the shadow of death in Israel. It's a valley that runs between Jericho and Jerusalem. This valley or canyon is so deep that part of it never sees the whole sun. It's actually there. You can go in there and look at it. Google it. Thieves hide in the narrow valley and bounce on unsuspecting travelers. And David compares this valley to death. I can see why. Philip Keller wrote in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23, these words. Often we pray or sing the hymn requesting God to make us an inspiration to someone else. We want instinctively to be a channel of blessings to other lives. The simple fact is that just as water can only flow in a ditch, channel, or valley, so in the Christian's career, the life of God can only flow in blessings through the valleys that have been carved and cut into our own lives by excruciating experiences. Isn't that the truth? A good example, the best able to comfort another in bereavement is the person who himself has lost a loved one. That's the person who gives you the best comfort, isn't it? The one who can best minister to a broken heart is the one who has known a broken heart. And many times when God has taken us through valleys and he's brought us out of these valleys, guess what? We become better witnesses for Jesus too. Your heart becomes more sensitive and you're more sensitive to even the lost people and you have compassion upon people's lives. And many times Jesus is working us out because we're a selfish people. We want to keep... How many love fasting? Zero. But you know something? That's one of the best things we can do. Because we tell this flesh, no, you can't have any food. And your flesh is saying, but I'm hungry. I want some food. I want to go to Burger King. And you say, you're not going to Burger King. And that's how I even talk to myself when I used to be on the road traveling all the time. If when I'd fast a week. And then I'd drive by a place, and boy, I'd get hungry. My stomach would start gurgling and stuff, and ooh, man, at McDonald's, those burgers look this big on that sign. And I said, no flesh, you're not having any. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And you know something? When God does these, allows these things into our life, these valleys, and when we fast and things like that, we become more disciplined in our walk with him. We have more power over things in our lives, bad habits and situations that we seemingly can't get victory over. Many times that comes through a valley experience or through fasting and prayer. I've experienced that. I've got more control over things in my life than I ever had before by through fasting because I learned to discipline myself because the old flesh is always screaming out for itself. And God knows those areas of flesh in us that are screaming out. And that's the thing that he goes after if it's things that hinder us, hurt us in any way, but he wants us to become more like him. Because we all know what type of person Jesus was, don't we? And our Lord, he gave his life for the whole world. And while we were yet filthy sinners, he died on Calvary's cross. Wow, I'd say Jesus went through a valley, huh? Most of us do not want valleys in our lives. We shrink from them with a sense of fear and foreboding. Yet in spite of our worst misgiving, God can bring great benefit and lasting benediction to others through the valleys. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, 15 and 16 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I believe that Jesus walked through... Everything that I've walked through in life, he's walked through it without sin. There's nothing that you cannot go to Jesus about and cry out and say, Jesus, you know how many times people have come to you, they've done it to me, they come, but you don't understand, Brother Lynn. You ever hear that? When somebody comes and you say something to encourage and help them in life, but I don't, you just don't understand. But you want to know something? Jesus does. You can't ever say that to Jesus. You can't say, Jesus, you don't understand, because see, Jesus knows what depression is. He knows what discouragement is. He knows what pain is. He knows what illness is. He knows what separation is. He knows what loneliness is. He knows all those valleys of life, because he's walked through every one of them, and there's not one. Every sensation that you and I have within our mortal bodies that we don't understand, Jesus knows what that is, and he's experienced it. He knows every one of them. And you can go and run to him, and he'll instantly know. He'll know how to take you through that valley. Why do we turn from him in our valleys? Why do we hinder ourselves from walking through that valley the way we should when we get our eyes off of the one who knows? Amen? The defeat, the valleys of life, we must first accept the reality of valleys in our lives and that God will see us through them. Revelation 7:17 says, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." What a hope we have. What a hope we have. Just think, our Commander-in-Chief is going to be in front of us. The real one. The real Supreme Court leader. He is going to be the one in front of us, leading us and guiding us. And he's going to come up and he's going to wipe my tears away. He's going to take them. They're going to be gone. And they're going to be gone because we're looking at the one who has the power and the ability to take us through the valley. That's what he's going to do. Amen? Yes. Point number two, and I'm not going to take long in the last ones here, so don't get nervous. How we respond in the valley. Once we accept the reality of the valley, you know something, brothers and sisters, you know, we're in such a hurried up world right now, even within the church. We want to do what the world does. Let's get in and get out of church so we can get to the restaurants or whatever else we want to do. But you know something? We should preach until every one of you fall off your chairs. Amen. That was pretty bold of me to say that, wasn't it, since I'm standing up here? But you know, I know I went to the extreme there, but I'll tell you what. Just think about this now. I know this isn't in my sermon, but think about this today. In the modern church world, in most churches, high percentage of most, when I say 20 to 25 minutes, the word is being preached, supposedly. It really isn't in some cases, but only 20 to 25 minutes, and that's all you hear the rest of the week, all week long. That's all you hear. Because most Christians don't read the Bible during the week either. And that's the truth. They will not crack their Bibles all week because they'll depend on their 20 to 25 minutes, and they think they're spiritually going to be strong and they're going to make it through the hard times of life and they're going to get to heaven. And when they go through the valleys, no wonder you see them backsliding away from Jesus. No wonder there's a great falling away today in the body, because when the valleys come, the people scatter. Because there's no depth to it. So if we go 10 minutes over, and I probably will, I'm preaching. That's 10 minutes that God's going to put in your soul if I'm preaching the word. It isn't because of me. It's because of his word. Amen? Amen. There are some things we can do in our response that will help us. Focus on the shepherd. I'm going to say it again. Focus on the shepherd. Focus on the one who's going to get you through. Focus on, let's all say it, Jesus. Let's say it again, Jesus. The second part of the verse 4 is David's declaration that his trust was in the shepherd and not the valley. Psalms 23:4 says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." In your valley, just cry out, Jesus. David did. He focused on the shepherd, Jesus. The scripture says Satan is as a roaring lion walking around, constituting powerful attacks against us. That's what he's doing. A child had to stand in front of his class and make a speech about what I want to be when I grow up. He said, "I'm going to be a lion tamer in the circus. I will have lots of fierce lions. I will walk into the cage and they will roar, and I will use the whip to control them. He paused for a moment, thinking about what he had just said, and then he added, but of course, I'll have my daddy with me. Smart kid. There are times when we're going through the valley will be difficult, and the only way to make it through is not to concentrate on the valley, but on getting through. Getting you through. Point number three, remember your resources. David mentions two pieces of equipment that the shepherd always has with him, the rod and the staff. The rod was the protection, and the staff was the provision. The rod was made from a hard piece of wood between 2 to 3 feet long. It would have a knob on the end of it about the size of your fist, and in the knob would be several nails or sharp pieces of metal. Shepherds were experts at using the rods. It would fit comfortably in their hand, and they would kill predators by throwing it at them. They could be accurate up the distance, it says, of 25 feet. The staff was 7 feet long, soaked in water to soften and bend it for the hook at the end. The hook was big enough to go around the chest of a small sheep and a small enough to go around the neck of a large one. The staff was used to guide and protect the sheep from falling, and if they got in trouble, to get them out. See, the staff and the rod, they had a purpose. The ideal position for the lamb is to allow the shepherd to fight for him. In fact, the only fight we are to fight is the good fight, it says in the Bible. Did you know that? That's the fight we fight, is the good fight of faith. It's spoken of in 1 Timothy 6:12. Our shepherd has given us several other good sources to help us, and consider these. We get comfort from God. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's where our comfort comes. It comes from nothing else. If you're looking to somebody else to gain your comfort, God should be the first one to run to, shouldn't he?
Yes.
We get comfort from Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 1 and 2 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And we get comfort from the Scriptures. Romans 15, 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And we don't read the Bible. We don't read it. That's why we don't have comfort today in the church the way we should. We're not reading the Word. And all the comfort and all the answers are in this book. And many times I found through life that when I'm going through things in life, that when I sit down and I begin to read, that I may be reading a certain area, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's got me going a whole different direction. Or maybe a scripture that I've read over 100 times meant nothing to me. Means nothing. But at that moment of time I read it, and I said, how many have done this? I said, wow, I've never seen that before. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost puts the flashlight on. That's for you right now. Sound effects are mine again. We get comfort from each other's. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. That's what you and I do together. That's why we come together in a church body. That's why we need each other. If you think, I don't need any Christians, yeah, you do. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to God. God said we did. If God says I need you, then I need you. Amen? He put you and I together so that we could comfort one another in times of need. Because sometimes we need Jesus like the saying is, Jesus with flesh on, don't we? And it sure helps to have a brother and sister come up sometime and just hug you, tap you on the back and say, you're going to make it. We're going to see valleys in our lives, but if we keep our eyes on the shepherd, he will lead us safely through. And we must remember that a shadow has form, but no substance. And even though the old movie says the shadow knows, it really doesn't. That I just threw that in. It was the form of the fourth man that was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was in there. And brothers, sisters, there's a fire coming to America. There's a fire coming to this nation. And it's going to come sooner than later. And it's going to be a serious fire, and it's going to make one that if Jesus doesn't take us out, it's going to draw us so close together as the body of Christ. And those who are not solid in there will not make it through this valley of time. But America is heading for a fall fast, and it's coming. You don't have to wait until the end of the tunnel to find the light. When you turn from the shadow, you will always find the Son of God. Amen? Lastly, Psalms 91:1 says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Let's all stand, please. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. How many in here today have a valley that you're walking in right now in your life? Small, big valley, doesn't make any difference. It's a valley you know that you're just having trouble in your life right now. If there's issues in your life, or maybe you know somebody that's got a valley, a deep valley in their life right now, just put your hand up. Just put it up. Just let the Lord know. As I say, when you do that, you're doing it to God, not to me. I don't need to know it to count hands, say, hey, I don't write something down, say, hey, I had so many hands today go up. I don't care about that stuff. This is a faith thing, reaching out to the One. Heavenly Father, you see right now the hands of us that are up in the air. And Lord, we come before you because we're weak and we're a needy people. And Father, these valleys sometimes are overwhelming and we see no way out and we see no end to them because some of them have been going on and on and on and it seems like they'll never quit. But in your eyes, Father, we've hardly walked in that valley because you've got work to do in us. And so, Father, I would pray for every hand that's up in the air right now that the Holy Spirit right now will move upon their souls. And, Lord, bring a sensitivity to them right now and let them see and hear the wooing of your Spirit and say, I know where you're at. I know your feelings. I know your thoughts. I know you don't understand, and I know you're trying to grasp, and you're trying to find me in the valley, but I'm right next to you, and I'm living within you through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for these brothers and sisters right now that you will show them your presence as you walk them through the valley, and that you will guide them to that valley, and when they come out the other side, they will be glorifying you. And people will say, I can see that that person has been with Jesus. That the world can look at us and say, I know the valley that person walked through. And I can see that they're victorious. Lord, I need that kind of person in my life. I need Jesus. Lord, you will draw men unto you when we lift you up. And we lift you up many times by walking in faith through our valleys. And I pray that you give every brother and sister spiritual, emotional, physical strength to continue on walking forward through that valley. And I praise you and I thank you. And we all said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even say it with me, even though I'm in a valley. I thank you, Jesus. Because I know you're with me. And I know I'm going to make it, Jesus. Because, Jesus, you said I would. And, Jesus, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. So, Jesus, I know you're with me right now. And I, even though I may feel weak right now, Jesus, you told me you're my strength when I am weak. And, Lord, I depend upon you. There are those who would make fun of me and say, you're a weakling because you need Jesus. And I say to them, I am a weakling and I do need Jesus. I will not run to the bottle. I will not run to sex. I will not run to drugs. I will not run to anything. I will not run to flesh. But I will come to you, Jesus. Like David, he kept his eyes on the shepherd. And Lord, I pray blessings over every person today, every home right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, that you put a fire in our bellies and a strength in our spirits, that when we come back together, that we'll be a church on fire. And Lord. I pray that you put that within us, Lord. Put your ever presence in our thoughts and in our minds. And convict us when we're not reading the word. Convict us when we're not living for you the way you've called us to live, Father. Even though we may not like it, Father, we call upon you. Because we know that you are eternal and you are forever. And we want to live with you forever. And we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. And if anybody would like prayer,